welcome to another edition of The Spirit Revolution. My name is Philip Coppens, and unfortunately, Kathleen cannot be with us. But she would have loved to have been with us, because a few weeks ago, we came to Bosnia, and we're definitely heading there once again next year in 2013 for another Hidden History Conference, which is happening in the start of September, September 7th to be precise, in the lovely place of Visoko. And the man responsible for all of this, and when I say all of this, I truly mean all of it, is Dr. Sam Osmanagic. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hello, Philip. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on our show. Long overdue, I should say. What we do in this show is we highlight people who have contributed certain stuff to the understanding and the advancement of pretty much who we are, where we come from, who we truly are. And I have been watching you and following you since you have begun to do the excavations of the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids in 2006. And I must say, you are one of the best examples I can find across the wide span of this globe for somebody who has stuck to their guns, has never even withered in, going after what needs to be done despite all the criticism and various other things which are, quite often in somebody's path. So for those of us who are unfamiliar with the tremendous things you have done, what happened? How did the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids come about? What is it all about?
Well, Philip, in April of 2005, I first came to the central Bosnian town of Visoko. The reason? To visit the local museum. However, when I saw this hill towering the town with the regular geometry of pyramids, four sides, rectangular shapes, the same slope, obvious corners. And when I took a compass, which showed me that the sides match the cardinal points, east, west, north, and south, I immediately knew that we do have an artificial structure below the layers of soil and vegetation. The experience in the last 25 years while exploring the pyramids all over the planet has taught me that the Mother Nature does not make hills with four sides, triangular sides, and perfect orientation. And unlike the Egyptian pyramids that are very visible being in Egyptian desert, most of them are really hidden, like 250 pyramids in the central Chinese province of Shanxi, and almost 100,000 pyramids in Mesoamerica, in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Salvador, and Belize. So, since 2005, I started the first geological core drilling, archaeological trenches, analysis. I was paying all these experts, and by the end of that year, I was ready to publish my first book about the discovery of the Bosnian pyramids, which I named the Bosnian Pyramids of the Sun, Moon, Dragon, Earth, Love, and the whole valley was named the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids. In 2006, I established a non-profit foundation called the Archaeological Park, Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation. And since then, it has become the most active archaeological site in the world. Every year, hundreds and hundreds of volunteers come to Visoko, to Little Bosnia, and work with dozens of experts from different scientific fields. And after more than 300,000 hours on archaeological excavation, lab analysis, sample testing, and radiocarbon datings, we were able to conclude. In Visoko, we have the first European pyramids. They are the largest on the planet. The orientation of the sites is the most precise on the planet. The concrete blocks that cover the pyramids are the best quality concrete on the planet. And finally, based on the pedological analysis and radiocarbon datings, these are the oldest pyramids on the planet. Those five elements forever changes our view of the ancient history.
And it's very much indeed the case that a new chapter has been written to European history. Taking those aspects almost like one by one, I was actually earlier in the day reviewing some of the stuff I had written, and I basically preparing it for an update. And one of the things which crossed my desk was an account from the 16th century of a person who had gone to Teotihuacan. And he had seen the pyramids there, and they were covered with earth, unlike the situation which is there right now. And he went back to Italy, and he wrote a 9-volume report. And when he wrote it and published it, there was such widespread skepticism, including people who said, you know, this is impossible. The man never left even Italy. He never went to the New World. And a Scottish commentator actually said, there is no such thing as pyramids in the New World. These devil-worshipping creatures, they can never have built a pyramid. And it took 200 years to really change, you know, some of the attitudes of people who obviously lived in a time when you couldn't just put a video tape of the pyramids of Teotihuacan online and show to the world. But you've experienced, I think, your own hardships, your own struggle into really pushing or changing the paradigm. And I find it interesting that, once again, despite no matter how much evidence there is, despite however scientific that evidence is, that there seems to be an unwillingness in some quarters to not necessarily believe, but to accept the fact that reality has changed. I know you can list, I think, probably 1,000 examples of that. But were you surprised? Were you surprised that when you announced that basically, you know, you had found a pyramid, which isn't that uncommon, granted it is the tallest and the oldest, but early on, the only thing you were saying is, I think this is a pyramid. Were you surprised that there was so much outcry?
Yes and no. Why yes? The most criticism and skepticism came from Bosnia. This is a small country with no faculty for archaeology. You don't have people who know pyramids. And to tell the truth, really in Southern Europe, you don't have experts for pyramids. Now, on the global scale, you do have experts in Egyptian pyramids, Egyptologists, people who know Mayan pyramids or Peruvian, but not so many people really investigating the pyramids as a worldwide phenomenon. Now, when I started the first excavation, the Bosnian archaeologists, geologists, and historians wanted to stop the project before even it took off. They were adding petition to the Bosnian government, asking them not to allow us to start digging, even though nobody was taking their money. You know, I was the biggest donor then, and unfortunately even today. And even though the interest of the public was enormous, the cultural establishment simply did not want us to start the excavation. And as we were doing more and more excavation, getting more proofs on the surface, more lab testing and analysis, proving that we have not only the artificial material in huge quantities, 18 million tons of concrete, comparing to 5 million in the case of the Great Pyramid of Egypt, but also all other elements that can be scientifically proven. For example, the orientation to the north. You know, so far we thought that the best orientation is on the northern side of the Great Pyramid of Egypt, the Khufu Pyramid. The error from the perfect north is 0 degrees and 2 minutes. According to the Bosnian State Institute for Geodesy, the error in the case of Bosnian Pyramid is only 0 degrees, 0 minutes, and 12 seconds. So this is something measured by the scientific instrument that anyone can check and double check. The same thing goes for the concrete. 6 scientific institutes, after analysis, concluding that it was artificially made concrete. And our friend Dr. Joseph Davidovitz of France, under electronic microscope, discovered what he called geopolymer cement, artificially made binding agent. So it was proof after proof of distinguished scientific institutions. The Russian geophysicists, Professor Kavroshkin and Siplakov, they measured the Bosnian pyramids with their very sophisticated geophysical instruments, also proving that we have artificial phenomena. But the more proof we were, you know, bringing to the table, people were becoming very hesitant, they were becoming very aggressive, attacking us. They wanted to stop the project by not issuing us the permits, cutting the funds, boycotting in media, of course, trying to discredit me and the foundation through every available means, and so on and so forth. And then you realize that this change is so big. It requires that all the history books from the tiny Bosnia to the U.S. are to be changed, rewritten. It's not just a matter of adding one paragraph, because when you change the beginning, everything else that follows has to be changed. And then the PhDs about the Neolithic and Paleolithic times are no good. The professorships also. The way the professors teach our kids is wrong. And of course, you know, all this cultural establishment people from Sarajevo or Zagreb to London, Boston, New Orleans, they did not want to accept that. For them, it was much easier to attack one little non-profit foundation, one little man and people, you know, who've been in this project, then to change all that. So I know it will take probably a couple of more decades till not only this discovery, but all others that are coming, like Yonaguni monuments on the bottom of the Pacific floor, Göbekli Tepe, the real dating of Machu Picchu, Teotihuacan, or Giza pyramids, they will require that our books are completely changed, because the history of humanity is not linear with the one cycle, but it goes cycle after cycle. And every cycle of development is stopped by huge global catastrophes. The Bosnian pyramids do belong not to this one, but to the previous one. And only after the global catastrophe hit the planet 12,000 years ago, humanity had to start all over. And then we got Sumer and Babylon and Akkad and Assyria and ancient Egypt, India, and so on and so forth.
And really, when you say that it belongs to a previous era, it's really the fact that in recent years you have been able to show with the radiocarbon dating results, I would say time and time again, that the dates of these monuments of the tunnels, which we'll come to in a second, really are tens of thousands of years old. And earlier this year in June, you, I think, in my opinion, came with the best carbon dating result so far, because it was taken from the Pyramid of the Sun. So it was actually from a pyramid site as well. And it came back with a staggering date of 24,800 BC, give or take 200 years.
Yes, you are right. Of course, when it comes to dating, we have to be careful. You need more than one or two different, you know, dating methods and results. This is the reason why we were always very careful. But really, two scientific disciplines that can help us with the dating is, the first one is pedology, which investigates the origin and age of soil. And the second one is, of course, radiocarbon. Now, since Bosnian pyramids are covered by soil, we asked the Bosnian State Institute for Pedology to sample the material and tell us the age of the dirt and soil covering the pyramids. And their conclusion was 12,000 to 15,000 years, meaning that if the pyramids, if the structure is covered with the soil 12 or 15,000 years, it means that the structure is even older than that. Now, when we compare that to the official dates for Egyptian pyramids that officially go 4,600 years in the past, or official date for Chinese, Mexican, and Peruvian, which go 2 to 3,000 years. Obviously, now we are talking about the oldest pyramids. Now, the second very important scientific data came last year, namely on the second biggest pyramid, the Moon Pyramid. We noticed that the terraces, one of the terraces is built from the two-layer blocks. According to the University of Zenica, those two layers are actually, one top layer is glued to the base. Between the base and the top layer, there is a binding material. And by removing the binding material, we were able to find the pieces of the organic material, meaning it can give us a date when the terrace was made. So we took those samples, we sent them to the Polish lab in Gliwice to the Silesian Institute for Technology, and their Institute for Physics gave us a date, 12,350 years, plus minus 50 years. So for us, that meant that this particular telos, which is basically outside the pyramid, is over 12,000 years old. And now, to get the good date for the Sun Pyramid, during this summer season, the excavation of our first shift of volunteers, run by two Italian archaeologists, Dr. Brett and Dr. Nicolo, they found a piece of organic material when they removed the layers of soil and clay on the top of the concrete blocks. So that piece of organic material, which was the fossilized leaf, was below the layers of soil, you know, sticking to the top of the concrete blocks. And then we realized that obviously it will give us another minimum age. So we took samples and sent them to the two different labs. We got the results from the first lab by the end of August from the Kiev, Ukraine. Their radiocarbon datings gave us a date of 24,800 years, plus minus 200 years. So now, again, it might be a minimum age of the pyramid, but it's taking us so deep in the past. So what I'm telling you now, it's not just a hypothesis, it is a hard scientific data. Of course, you're going to need some more, but this is very interesting.
Absolutely, and I actually enjoyed very much the way Dr. Ricardo Brett announced it during the conference, whereby he said, like, well, you know, 24,800 is quite an old date, but actually when you start looking at it, it's not that old, in the sense of the Lascaux Caves, Altamira, they're all within that 20,000-25,000 years ago range. We've been around for, you know, at least another 10,000 years. And the likes of Michael Cremo, who we've had on our show, and others like Richard Rudgley, are really saying that we should push ourselves even further back into time, hundreds of thousands of years, if not older. And, you know, at some point, I almost see it like it's like a harmonica movement of basically the fact that we have pushed so much of our civilization in the last 46,000 years, and now we seem to be slowly extracting it and realizing that we've been around for far longer and far wider to that respect. And clearly the Bosnian pyramids are leading the way, and I would actually say they're leading the way because what's happening there is that everything is done in the open. There is no scientific, what I would call, iron bolts on doors. You know, you publish your results, you give the information the way it comes out. Carbon dating results from the Great Pyramid, which were done in 1982, still have not been published by Egyptologists. You know, we are 30 years on. You do it in the open. There is a new breeze of information in the way you go about doing science. And also, whenever I'm in Visoko, I quite often kind of like stand there and I think, like, this is probably how it felt in the 19th century when you were in Egypt, when people were exploring the pyramids, when, you know, not even the tomb of Tutankhamun had been discovered, when people realized that there were still so many answers to search for. Each time you go to Visoko, how do you feel? Because you have been there, I would think, like, probably thousands of times.
Well, first of all, this is the most exciting archaeological, if not scientific, project of all. And you are right when it comes to the dating and the humanity. According to the anthropological genetics, which investigate our DNA, we know that the first Europeans were Basques 55,000 years ago. But the second oldest cultural oasis in Europe was the Central Balkan. And we go back 38,000 years. So now, theoretically, we can ask ourselves, is it possible that sometimes in the past we did have a technological peak, whether it be, you know, some mental or spiritual knowledge of the humans who were able to maneuver with the huge quantities of material in order to get certain energy effects which we can talk about later. So this is one question. And the second question, you are again right. When it comes to Visoko and the Lost Pyramids of Bosnia, they've been there obviously for thousands, if not tens of thousands of years. And just recently, 7 years ago, the first systematic investigation started. Before that, everybody thought it was a natural hill of peculiar shape, but still natural. And now we still don't know what's going to happen next, what we're going to discover next. And that's the beauty of our work. And then we proclaim that this is not just an archaeological project, because we have noticed the limits of archaeologists and Egyptologists and geologists. I mean, they don't teach them in schools to be wide open, to be ready to use so many other scientific tools. In our case, we said this is an interdisciplinary scientific project. So we combine those classical sciences with satellite, thermal, radar analysis, with the georadar activities, and of course, with the help of the physicists, electrical engineers, people who are experts in energy phenomena. And that's the only way to approach those ancient monuments. And also, we are saying this is not a project where we're going to have only the mainstream conservative orthodox scientists. They are, of course, welcome. But we have given the chance to the alternative explorers and researchers from different fields. And we are getting pieces of puzzle from so many different sides. You have noticed that our conferences, they always have experts from so many different fields, whether it be classical archaeologists or physicists or people who know the human aura, bioprotective shields, and so on. I think that's the only way to attack those ancient projects, because the ancients were much smarter than we think they were. As a matter of fact, very often, they would know more about the construction, math, geometry, and astronomy than what we do know in 21st century.
And that's actually always on display, I think, with each spade you move and shovel away, in Visoko, because what you've also been concentrating on is not just the pyramid complex, which is visible above ground, but also tunnel complexes, specifically the Ravne Labyrinth, which just sits outside, really, of the pyramid complex, but is nevertheless very much a part of it. Two questions, really. Can you explain to us a bit about this tunnel complex and also the importance of the tunnel complex?
7 years ago, when I rediscovered the Bosnian pyramids, I wrote in my book that we were going to discover the underground labyrinth. At that time, in 2005, the Bosnian professors of archaeology, history, or geologists, they were all saying the same thing. There are no prehistorical underground labyrinths. The best you can find would be coal mining facility or something that belonged to the Yugoslav army. Well, 7 years later, turns out that I was right. There is a huge network of underground tunnels and chambers under the Valley of Bosnian Pyramids. It is tens of kilometers in length. So far, we have cleaned and secured about 850 meters, which is probably less than 5% of the complex. Now, the reason I wrote that in my book 7 years ago was that I knew that, for example, in China, all the oldest and original pyramids would have underground tunnels leading to the chambers under the pyramids. I knew that in Teotihuacan, there were a network of tunnels, and only last couple of years, they are getting us as the world sensations, a little tunnel under Quetzalcoatl pyramid or under the Moon pyramid. Of course, we knew that there were tunnels under the Giza pyramids. And as long as Zahi Hawass was there, he was trying to hide the fact that the tunnel complex connects all the pyramids on Giza plateau, with the Sphinx, with the River Nile, and even more than that. So that's something that the ancients would always do. There is a reason for that. But now, once we started cleaning the Bosnian tunnels, we realized that this is a huge network, and the tunnels, they run in all directions, left, right, back and forth. Right now, we are focused on cleaning the tunnels that lead us to the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, from the entrance to the pyramid, 2.5 kilometers. We have noticed traces of two different civilizations. The first one, who built the tunnels and obviously had very advanced engineering skills, because even today, over 12,000 years after making those tunnels, they have not collapsed. The ceilings are still there. Even today, after so many years, the airflow is perfect. The deeper you go, you breathe better, even better than outside. The ratio of the oxygen, which is 25%, is the same like the outside. We also noticed that the slope is 1.5%, which is ideal to drain the water. So it's a fact after fact telling us that the original builders were very, very advanced. But then second civilization came much after and for some reason decided to close all these tunnels. They brought a lot of materials, mostly from the riverbeds, sand and pebbles and rocks, and they fill in all these tunnels. And when they would finish one section, they would build a wall. We call it a drywall because it does not have a binding material. But nevertheless, it's very compact, perfectly done. So now we have two distinguished civilizations from the distant past. We know nothing about them. Not a word has been written in the history books. But then they are there because the proofs, the material proofs, are in front of our eyes. So we started cleaning those closed tunnels. We are moving towards the pyramids and we are finding huge megalithic blocks. They go anywhere from several hundred kilos to 8 tons. And I believe these are not the biggest ones. There are bigger ones to discover in the future. We have analyzed those megalithic blocks. They look like sandstone blocks. However, at the Institute for Atomic Physics from Zagreb, Croatia, after they applied to very sophisticated analysis, the Rntgen diffraction analysis and the phased analysis, they concluded that it was definitely ceramic. So somebody in a distant past had the technology to produce such high temperatures and to make those huge ceramic blocks up to 8 tons in mass. Now, that for itself is huge. But then when we realized that those blocks are just part of the technology, we were shocked. Namely, all those ceramic blocks were positioned above the underground water stream. Now, for the dowsers, it's a fact that when the water moves, the energy is being generated. So, once you place the ceramic blocks above the water stream, the energy is hitting those blocks. Now, we know from the other examples, you know, even places like Stonehenge or Karnak, where you have those erected stones, that in most cases you have underground water. So, the ancients knew why they were positioning them there. So, in our case, we had 22 meters below the ground, underground water stream, the energy is coming and hitting those ceramic blocks. And then with the help of the georadar experts, again from Zagreb, Croatia, we realized that in those ceramic blocks are hidden certain objects, most probably from the quartz crystal, because you know that they are not hollow space, water, metal, or ceramic. They are minerals, like I said, more probably ceramic. You know, quartz crystal. So when that energy hits the quartz crystal, it starts working, it is surrounded by ceramic, the ceramic vibrates, and by vibration, it produces electromagnetic field, which can be measured by our scientific instruments. And we have had teams from different countries measuring them at independent times, people from Croatia, from Serbia, Italy, and Finland, confirming that we have a 28 kilohertz frequencies around ceramic blocks. And guess what? The only place, the only two places where we measured the same frequency were at the very top of of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun and the very top of the tumulus in Vranjica. Everywhere around, there are natural hills or even some other places in the world, nobody was able to measure the same frequency. And this is the frequency that does not come randomly in the nature. You have to have machines, you have to have technology to produce it. So in other words, in the case of those underground tunnels and those ceramic blocks and the top of the Sun Pyramid, we have certain type of ancient technology, different than ours, but still technology.
And as you're pointing out, as you're walking into to the tunnel complex, really the conditions begin to change. You are, you know, the negative ions increase by the tens of thousands. Each time you continue down a tunnel, you find more and more bits of interesting information, signs of human habitation at some point, underwater streams, even small underground lakes. You see that the layout is very much of a labyrinth, but you've also had to make a choice fairly early on that at this moment in time, rather than being able to explore every side tunnel, of which there are dozens, you really wanted and had to make a direction move to the Pyramid of the Sun. You've done so over the last few years, but you're still quite a substantial distance away from the Pyramid of the Sun. Some kind of speculative questions here. How long do you think before you will get there? Do you think that this is the main complex into entering the Pyramid of the Sun in ancient times, or is this right now the best means to get in there? And what do you think the purpose of all of these things were? What do you think the purpose of these tunnels leading into the pyramid was for?
From the entrance to underground labyrinth Ravne to the Sun Pyramid is 2.5 kilometers. Our pace is approximately 100 meters a year. Now, in 2012, we have discovered about 200 meters. So far, 850 meters. But since we have several loops, about seven circles, the actual distance from the entrance to the pyramid is shortened for about 400 meters. So we are getting there very slowly. If we continue this pace, let's say 100 meters a year, or 2,500 meters, it's 25 years. We have 6 years behind us, so it's almost 20 years. In a case that the tunnels that lead to the Sun Pyramid are completely filled in. Of course, we are hoping that we're going to find more and more open sections. And guess what? Starting last year, we've discovered the first couple of open sections. And as we move on, we are finding more and more open sections, which will shorten our time moving towards the pyramid. Now, we have noticed also that the number of testimonies of people who not only felt good and right in the tunnels, but they could notice certain healing properties of the tunnels were increasing as we were getting deeper and deeper in the tunnel. When you came first in the Valley of the Pyramids, Philip, 5 years back, we had maybe about 100, 120 meters of tunnels. And at that time, we were not thinking about the healing properties. But when we discovered our first underground chamber 2 years ago, approximately 250 meters from the entrance, we realized that more and more people felt good inside. And even if they had some health problems like headaches or backaches or asthma problems, you know, those problems were basically healed in that chamber and by those ceramic blocks. And then we realized that you go deeper, it becomes healthier. You did mention negative ions. As we know, the negative ions clean our blood and our body from viruses and bacteria. So they are good for us. Now, in your office or in mine here in Houston, the concentration is probably 200 or 300 negative ions per cubic centimeter. At the entrance of the Bosnian tunnels is 1,000 negative ions per cubic centimeter. And in the chamber that I just mentioned, 250 meters away from the entrance, is 43,000. It's 200 times higher concentration than in our offices or our homes, or 200 times healthier. And it seems as we go deeper, the vibrational level is getting higher. So if we are to make a hypothesis, it seems that if we are getting closer to the pyramid, we have to be, you know, spiritually cleaner. We have to be more pure to get to the pyramid herself. Now, our goal is, and you are right, our goal is to get to the pyramid first. That's our priority. We don't have the time or the money, you know, to clean all the side tunnels. And I believe that also we would affect the structural stability of the complex if we clean all of them. So we move towards the pyramid, which is from the entrance in the south-southeast direction. We secure those tunnels by making the wooden support. And every 40, 50 meters, you know, we make a loop. We clean some of the side tunnels, making a circles, you know, for the emergency exit. We don't want something to happen that the ceiling collapsed and, you know, that somebody stuck there. So it is a slow process, but it is the safe process. And every year, the progress is very visible to those who come. And finally, your last question, what was the purpose of those tunnels? Since we can see them in the case of the oldest and what I call the original pyramids in Egypt, in Mexico, in China, in Peru, in Bosnia, it probably has several different purposes. Now, the healing properties, if not primary purpose, they are maybe secondary. They were very important for the ancients because protecting and safeguarding what we value the most in our life is the health. So if you go there, if you are exposed to some process of regeneration, rejuvenation, it would make sense. But then, why do we have electromagnetic fields? It seems that it is connected to the pyramid itself. If you have the biggest pyramid, like the one we have in Visoko, it requires the most extensive underground tunnel network. Not for the communication purposes, just to connect five pyramids or more that we have there. It has to be something more important. And I think with the help of the physicists and the electrical and sound engineers that we are getting there, namely on the very top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, in the last 2 years we have detected and measured electromagnetic fields in the radius of 13 feet or about 4 meters of 28 kilohertz frequency. And the strength of the signal is getting higher as this electromagnetic beam or energy beam moves away from the pyramid. It goes on a surface 1.9 volts, you know, 3 meters higher, 3.9 volts, and so on. So now we have very interesting, very intriguing energy phenomena. This frequency, like I said, does not come in nature, and there is nowhere else to be measured around. So the pyramid obviously has some properties of the energy machine. Our friends, Dr. Slobodan Mizrak, the physicist from Zagreb, and anthropologist Dr. Paolo De Bertolis from Italy, they measured more phenomena. For example, the ultrasound. That's something that we cannot hear, but we can measure and detect using our scientific instruments. We hear in the range from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. So 28 kilohertz is the ultrasound we measure there also. Now, electromagnetic fields and ultrasound are different phenomena. Ultrasound is mechanical, a vibrational phenomena. So obviously, for some reason, this frequency was very important for the ancient builders. And you have huge and continuous energy and ultrasound beams coming through the top of the pyramid. And in April of 2012, this year, the international team of the physicists and other experts did an experiment. We were thinking this way. If the pyramid of the sun is an energy machine generating electromagnetic field, what will happen if we bring another machine? And that's what we did. We brought the generator, which was emitting electromagnetic fields of the same frequency to the top of the pyramid. Now, the physicists were able to calculate the signal they're going to get back, 0.9 volts. After two days of emitting the signal, and after the processing of information in three different labs, in Zagreb, Belgrade, and Vienna, we got the results back. The first one, the signal was 3 times stronger than we projected. What did that mean? It meant that the pyramid is not only the machine, but the intelligent machine, which reacts the way she wants. And the second conclusion was, we did locate the source of the energy. According to Dr. Mizrak and team, the source is 2,440 meters below the pyramid, with over 400 meters shift to the right. So it seems that there is a huge iron plate emitting the energy signal to the pyramid. So either the ancient builders knew our planet obviously better than we do, knowing exactly where certain types of materials are located and at which depths, or they were able to somehow slide in that iron plate on such a depth. In both cases, it tells us that, you know, they were very advanced. And now, with the help of the tunnels, negative ionization, the electric current has been generating of over 10 kilowatts. So for the first time in the pyramid science, which, by the way, has not been established yet, we've proven that the pyramids are indeed the energy machines. And finally, with the help of our friends from Russian Academy of Natural Sciences, Professor Kavloshkin and Siplakov, and after measurements we did in Egypt and Bosnia, we concluded that the strength of the signal on the top of the pyramids is up to 500 times stronger than at its bottom. So the pyramids acts as a huge amplifier. So now in Bosnia, we've done some pioneering steps in explaining the purpose of the pyramids and underground labyrinth. And to answer your question, what was the purpose of the underground tunnels? Obviously, the pyramid was feeding off those underground tunnels and energy flowing through them.
And we're beginning to see, I think, in Bosnia something which is really unique. At the conference in September, I said to you and that you've really moved away from simply trying to show that this is man-made, but also trying to answer why these monuments were built, why pyramids as a whole maybe have been built. And as such, you are rediscovering pyramid science. Now, before moving on to that subject, the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids is more than just pyramids. There's Ratnica, which is a conical hill, which, as you say, emits the strange signal as well. There is various other complexes. There is a smaller pyramid of the Lof and smaller, in the context of Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids is still relatively large. There are sites such as Gigne who are further removed, but clearly were part of this complex where you find gigantic stones. During the first international conference on the Bosnian Pyramids in 2008, we found lying next to the road gigantic stone blocks. This is clearly part of an extremely large complex. 25,000 years ago, definitely around that period of time, who would have been doing this? And what do you think the other aspects of this valley complex are? In short, what are we looking at in Visoko? What was this?
It seems that we are just beginning to understand how big this complex was. Now, we did name several pyramids, sun, moon, dragon, earth, lava. We have tumulus in Ratnica, we have underground tunnels. But Guinea is just one of the, you know, pieces of puzzle. We know that this is artificially made hills. So we have conical hills. Now we have stone spheres on so many different locations in Bosnia. And then we realized, hey, when you use the help of the biogeometry, you know, the science that try to figure out what are the most powerful geometrical shapes, then we realized that the three most powerful geometrical shapes are the shape of the pyramid, the conical shape, and the sphere. And all these phenomena in the form of the stone spheres or stone pyramids or the artificially made conical hills are present in Bosnia. But they are, of course, present all over the planet. It's just that until now, they were exclusively, you know, the field of the archaeologists, Egyptologists, geologists. And that is what was wrong. I mean, if we get involved, you know, people from the energy phenomena side, you know, satellite, georadar, geophysical instrumentation, and so on, then we will realize that the ancients were always focused to resolve what was their main problem, and that was the energy. That's the same problem we face today. It's just what we do today. We use limited sources of energy, you know, the coal, oil, and gas. We use dirty way, you know, to put them together and to produce the energy. We use cables. In most cases, it is not a wireless transportation. And unlike us with the pyramids and all other sources, you know, they were using unlimited sources of energies, unlimited quantities, the wireless transportation, and the free energy. I mean, it would run forever. Once you build a pyramid, then the whole energy machine starts working, and it's been like that for tens of thousands of years. So somebody had, you know, knowledge to maneuver with these huge quantities of energy. Now, the next question is, what would they use this energy for? Well, our imagination is a limit. I mean, you need energy to, for example, to transport the signal, to transport the information. So this is a communication mean, but also for transport, but also for heating, for healing, military purposes. So many different possibilities of what we do have in Bosnia, but also in Egypt, in China, in Mexico, are very sophisticated ways how to harness the natural sources of energies and how to amplify them by building these intriguing shapes.
And speculating a bit further, I mean, we've seen over the last decades and centuries how pyramids have become a global phenomenon. Egypt, the New World, the, you know, archaeologists will tell you that the accepted oldest pyramids are now in the New World. All of a sudden, the New World is somehow deemed to be older than the Old World. But as you say, there in China, there are smaller pyramids everywhere else. There are likely to be pyramids near Bosnia in Italy. All of these pyramids are dated relatively recent, the 3,000 year time frame, and then more recently. Do you think that we need to expand this dramatically into the past? Do you think that some of them are of the same age of Bosnia? Or how do you see pyramid history?
First of all, the pyramid science has to be open. We need, instead of selective information, we need to make those information public. As you know, in the case of the Bosnian Pyramid Project, there are no secrets, no elite science. Everybody is welcome, and we are open for everyone. That's the reason why we have hundreds of volunteers every year. That's the reason why we have so many media watching exactly what we've been doing. And, you know, we are showing all our results immediately when we receive them. When, you know, some other teams of experts or independent explorers come to Bosnia, one term we ask from them is to share their results with us so we can make them public. You go to China, you can clearly see that out of 250 pyramids, there are 20 of them which are bigger, built from the superior materials, sandstone and granite, and much older. But the Chinese government gives the permission to investigate only the small ones built from the mud bricks, and they know that they do belong to the very concrete Chinese emperors from the Emperor Qin 2,200 years ago until 1000 BP. The Chinese archaeologists did confirm that they do not have permission to work on the biggest one. Now, the only source we have from 1967 was when the Chinese archaeologist was at a conference in Japan, stating that he did find some of the clay tablets with some type of the hieroglyphic symbols close to the pyramids. And after he partially deciphered them, he said that the pyramids were over 12,000 years old. I believe that we're going to be seeing more radiocarbon datings in the future from Teotihuacan in Mexico, even from some oldest Mayan pyramids, El Mirador, or some in Belize, some in Peru, that will take us 12,000 years in the past. And now, of course, we need to ask the question, what is the real age of the Giza pyramids? We need to get a scientific proof, whether they are built by the pharaohs, even though we do know that the pharaonic times did not possess the technology or the tools or vast knowledge to build them, or they belong to much older period. So I think that instead of this concept of elite science, only selected circles of archaeologists and historians being able to work at those sites, we need to open that to public, because the knowledge belongs to all of us. We don't want to, you know, have the knowledge reserved only for the elites, because that's how they establish their power on the monopoly on knowledge. And from that monopoly, they got all others, financial, political, economical, media, and so on.
That's absolutely the case. And they have been trying to push specifically the Bosnian pyramids to the side, because they realize that you are pretty much reluctant to play the ball game by the way they have set the rules, which is pretty much, you know, by consensus and by removing some of the material which is deemed to be, what I would say, non-conform with the existing paradigm. And you have consistently shown that, you know, what you find is what you're going to publish and what you're going to say. So that has taken an enormous amount of courage, I think. And definitely, you know, it has made you, I think, respected throughout the world for what you do. I go to quite a bit of conferences, and I can say that you're one of the very few people who consistently gets, at the conferences I'm at, a standing ovation, simply because I think people absolutely recognize that what you're doing is done in a new way, and is done in a way that is so vitally needed to uncover our past, who we are, you know, what we did, what our ancestors did. So I would like to once again thank you for doing that. Now, a few things which you mentioned and a few things which I mentioned. People can get involved. People can become so-called volunteers. So what does this volunteering for the Bosnian pyramids entail?
We were thinking how to give an opportunity to every good intentional guy on this planet to become involved in a history-changing process like the one we have. And we said, okay, let's start with those international summer camps for volunteers, where people, no matter if they have experience, no matter what college they go to, how old are they can come and participate. Of course, working under, you know, expertise of our archaeologists, geophysicists, and other experts. So every summer, from the beginning of June till the end of September, we got a summer camp. The shifts are 2 weeks, so people come usually for 2 weeks. They can, you know, stay a little bit longer, a little bit less. But in 2 weeks, they get opportunity to go through the archaeological training, to see all the archaeological sites, and then to start, you know, helping us cleaning the soil, dirt, and vegetation from all the pyramids. And this year we were active on all pyramids, and sun, and the moon, and the dragon, and the earth, and the love, discovering a lot of interesting things, a lot of cultural layers from the medieval, ancient Roman, Illyrian, Neolithic times. And they were all on the top of those pyramids. And in the tunnels, they are helping us, you know, cleaning those tunnels, you know, securing them with the wooden support. And, you know, 5, 10, 20 years from now, they will be able to say, hey, I was there in the beginning. I was very active part of this discovery, which does not belong to one little foundation or one little country. The Bosnian pyramids do belong to the world as the world cultural heritage. Same thing with the Great Chinese Wall or Egyptian pyramids or the Eiffel Tower. They belong to all of us. So there is so much we can learn from the past. And recently, it's not just the archaeology, but those energy phenomena that are telling us you can apply some of that knowledge to the problems that you have in the 21st century civilization. So the more you learn, the more you will realize what are the ways to find that balance between the spiritual and physical in us and in our civilization. And of course, people who want to apply, they can go to our official website, which is www.bosnianpyramidofthesun.com. bosnianpyramidofthesun.com. And of course, through our very good friends, you know, Philip and Kathleen, you know, through their website, you know, they can apply, they can join us on the next year's conference. And I think we will have more exciting news because with the people like you know, Philip, like Klaus Donner of Austria, it seems J.J. Hartak is coming also, and, you know, a lot of others, investigators who are very, you know, concretely involved in the Bosnian Pyramid Project, they will be able to hear so many fresh and new information, and at the same time, they'll be able to see all of Bosnia.
Absolutely, and, you know, apart from the pyramids, there is so much more to see in Bosnia. Sarajevo and Mostar are truly remarkable places. Obviously, Medjugorje, if you're interested in Virgin Mary apparition sites. There is so much to see, and as you pointed out, next September, September 7th, is a conference, but in the week leading up to that, you are organizing a tour, not just of the pyramids, but of the rest of Bosnia, which we will keep our listeners informed about. And it really is a unique means of exploring the pyramids and seeing the beauty of Bosnia. So if you're interested, by all means, let us know. And please come with us to Bosnia next year in September in 2013. But Sam, we have come to the end of yet another show of The Spirit Revolution, which means I will let you go to explore further the mysteries of the pyramids. Thank you so much for being our guest. If you, any of our listeners, want to hear this show again or any other of our previous editions, please go to our website, thespiritrevolution.com. Also go to iTunes, where you can listen to 2 years of shows completely for free. Until the next time, from Kathleen in absentia and me present, the truth against the world.